American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading.
Second hour of the National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for John Stadmiller. We've got Betty in North Carolina. Betty, you're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind? Betty, are you
out
there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Betty. What you have on your mind?
Okay. I have on my mind the AT&T. We all carry our cell phones, et cetera. And are you aware that they don't write contracts, much less give them out, much less keep them? This is, in my opinion, makes me look like an idiot to have it.
So why did you pick AT&T over the other carriers?
Well, no, it doesn't matter. I understand that most all of the internet companies do not have contracts.
Okay.
They don't hand you a contract.
Okay.
And that makes me think we're all communists at heart. If we don't get, you think the big corporations would deal with them without a contract?
Right, right.
Why are we so stupid?
You know, we seem to accept things we normally wouldn't accept, and I can't speak for other people because I'm very outspoken about when I'm disgruntled or unhappy with something, especially service. I'm the first one they're calling.
I've been all those things and gotten nowhere, yeah. And I'm at the point where I was stupid, and I guess everybody else is stupid, so let's talk about it a little bit. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Well, I'm going to go back to the AT&T thing I hear, because... What's that, huh?
Go ahead.
No, I had the problem. I had a problem with AT&T. Kind of talking over me here. I had a problem with AT&T, and I actually talked to John about this, that they were actually putting in something that blocking me actually from actually entering the RBN website to look at the stories, the banner stories. And then my Grace Digital Wi-Fi radio didn't work any longer for picking up RBN. And I knew it was the carrier itself, and John got right on that. He got on top of AT&T, and they fixed that problem really fast, but then came back to do it again. So not a big fan of AT&T. I had a cell phone from them many, many years ago, which is interesting story, is that I had lots of dropped calls, and I thought, what is wrong with this service? And I called the 800 number, and the customer service was in India. And the guy who answered the phone was named Bob. And I asked him, Bob, in the heaviest Indian accent that he had, I said, where am I calling today? And he said, Bombay, India. And I said, really? So the call center was in India. So they were outsourcing their work, which puts out an American from a job. So I was not happy about that at that point, and kind of tossed them aside and went with another carrier. I support U.S. entities, and I'm not going to put up with the outsourcing. And I think we all need to do that. We all need to say enough is enough. That's it. You know, we'll talk about that. Actually, Go ahead, Betty.
I think if all the other companies are in the same boat, that they're not giving contracts, that you don't have to just pick on the one. It's us who are accepting it. And I got to run with this. This has been a long speech. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. You're welcome, Betty. Thank you for calling. Thank you, Colin. We have Ramsey from Canada. You're on the National Intel Report, Ramsey.
Hello?
Yes, Ramsey, you're on. What's on your mind?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Loud and clear. What's on your mind?
Excuse me, sorry, but I just have two questions. Yesterday, Mr. Stadmiller talked about Abraham Lincoln and all the... the narrative that the typical person is taught, that like that's like the South are the bad guys, the North were the good guys, and all that.
Right.
And see, so I I just, because see, I have a degree in history, so I'm interested in all that kind of stuff. So I'm just calling to find out what book would you recommend telling you about, like, about what really happened in the Civil War? And see, sir, my second question is, when did the illegal immigration in the United States start? Like the whole people came illegally from Mexico and all that. Like, when did that start exactly? Yeah, thank you.
Okay, let me try to answer that first question. First question, as far as the book itself, well, you can't read any school books, no doubt about it. I have yet to find anything in school, in the high school system or junior high, whatever, grade school, to actually go into detail and talk about, and actually I wrote an email to John on this, and he read this on air, that the whole deal with the Civil War was all about pulling away. The South was being taxed, and the taxes were not going back to the South to take care of the South's needs, the infrastructure that was being used towards the North. So they wanted to pull away and start, pull away from the North and do their own, start their own country, I guess you basically could say that. And so it's about the money issue. And the slaves, if you read that article on Republic Broadcasting Network, it's still on there. I saw it this morning and read it. And there was a famous speech that President Lincoln had done. And when he talked about it, they keep pulling this whole thing with slavery, and it's all about slavery. No, it's not. Like I said, it was about the taxation. The South was not being represented by the tax. They were being taxed, but they weren't sharing the taxes back with the South. And so secession from the North is the only way to get away from that. They simply tax themselves and use the money towards their own infrastructure. I can't tell you of any school book at all that will tell you the actual truth on this. I'm sure there are, but I can't offhand. I will definitely do some research after the show today to see if I can find something, and then I'll actually email it over to John Stabmiller, and he can put it on the network, on the banner page. But historians, the true historians who really, really know the truth, I never learned this in high school. Actually, I had to take a class in high school called Slavery, and you could not graduate without having taken this class, and not once did it talk about the taxation of the South, and that the reason it was the Negro issue, the slave issue was not really, that's what they pushed, but that's not the truth. And if you read that on their RBN website there, that article that was written, one of the speeches from President Lincoln talked about he was no fan of the black man, not at all. So read that, maybe in that article. I did read it, but I don't. What's that?
Lincoln had slaves himself, didn't he?
I can't answer that truthfully. I don't know. I did hear today they were talking about the Andrew Jackson, some statue they're talking about taking down in North Carolina. And I had to laugh because they said it was racist and that he'd owned slaves or something like that. And I had to, this snowflake thing going on right now that we're seeing, that everything is offensive and has to be taken down. And the Confederate flag, that's a sign of racism. No, that actually was as a flag that represented the Southern forces when they were fighting the North. It has nothing to do with racism at all. You can make anything you want out of that issue, but it really doesn't stand for racism. And the very idea that they want to take down this statue now and melt it down because he had slaves. Well, I mean, we can go over and sandblast Mount Rushmore tomorrow if you want to go that route, because Washington had slaves. There were many that had slaves, and that was normal for that time. It's nothing that we do today. But for some reason, we're having to pay the price for things that happened in the past. And your second question about the immigration, illegal immigration thing, that whole problem, I did not see that growing up. I did not live in California my whole life. And I can't actually say when it actually started. My guess is it started when the loophole was put in by the politicians allowing outsourcing and cheap labor. So if you go back to find out when, if you Google this probably, or I actually go to duckduckgo.com. I don't use Google anymore because that tracks you and leaves a lot of cookies on your computer. But if you find out when the legislation was enacted that allowed outsourcing of U.S. entities to other countries, you'll probably find that window of when that actually started. You know, we actually created the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, to actually slow down the migration of illegals coming into this country. That's the reason we did that. Plus, we wanted the cheap labor, too. But it didn't work out quite that well. And like Ross Perot said, that great sucking sound, taking jobs away, and it did that. But a lot of people don't realize that the reason we got into this whole mess, because the politicians started, they enacted laws for industry to get cheap, cheap labor and to dodge the FDA, not FDA, I'm sorry, the EPA, and dodge union high demands. A lot of people don't talk about that. High union demands push up consumer prices, and if you want to keep that profit margin high or higher, get even more so of a profit, then you want cheap labor, cheap products. So when they enacted those laws to allow industry to outsource their industries to other foreign countries, Mexico, wherever, Indonesia, they did that. They were allowed to do that because of the politicians. And that was a kickback to them, basically. And that started right then the downward swing of where we started seeing manufacturing in this country disappear. We don't make much anymore. And that's what another interesting thing is that I saw in another article today was where we're flexing our muscles at China. You're going to fight China, the country that manufactures majority of what we use for products. We're going to want to fight these people. That would be like buying a brand new pair of tennis shoes and chopping your foot off. That's not a possibility. I'm not sure what's going on there, all this saber rattling and muscle flexing. But if you go back to the time where the politicians put in that loophole allowing industry to go over to foreign countries to get cheap labor and sending their country their work over there, that's probably what you'll find is when you saw the migration also coming back into this country for cheap labor. Either they outsourced it there and sent the entity there, the industry there, or they kept it here and allowed illegals to come in and take these jobs. Now, if we had any teeth in our laws whatsoever, you know there's a $10,000 fine for every infraction to a U.S. company that hires an illegal alien. If we were just to enforce that law, this whole thing would go away. And if you stop giving benefits and giving subsidies to the illegals coming over, there would be no reason for them to come here and no reason to stay. They'd go back to Mexico. So the whole idea of NAFTA was actually to actually build up Mexico so their workers would stay there, and on the other side of it, they would get cheap labor too. There was a payback in that way. So I can't give you an actual date on the when it started. I'm going to say somewhere in the 70s, somewhere in the mid-70s, I would assume it started right around that time because our manufacturing started to disappear. And I remember when Walmart had the big saying, you know, their little campaign of made in the USA, made in the USA. They did that for about 8 to 10 years, that big push for made in the USA, and then they dropped it because they realized their competition was getting all their product from China and everywhere else. And that profit margin, they won that high profit margin again, and so they had to compete, and so they dropped that whole logo of made in the USA. Now they're trying to get it back, but can we get back what we've lost in manufacturing? Can we get it back? You know, there's a
this happened when Jimmy Carter was president, you're saying?
Carter was in the 70s. I would say it was a little bit before his taking office that we started having that fluctuation and losing manufacturing. You know, when Carter took office, actually the time I went in the military, that was probably one of the worst times in the economy. High inflation, there were no jobs. I had to go in the military because there was no job. I could not find even a little nothing job to survive on, and so I had to go in the military to survive. And at the time, I figured in 4 years, I'll come out and things will be much better. And they were. But I can't actually put a date on it. I'm going to say it's sometime in the 70s. And definitely late 80s, we saw that manufacturing was definitely leaving very, very fast. And, you know, the corporations in their greed wanted cheap labor, cheap products. And you know, the problem we have now with that whole concept is, will Americans be willing to pay more for a product now? If we bring back manufacturing to this country right now, let's say we open up factories and we start manufacturing, and the unions get back in there, and the unions, so we want this for our workers, we want this for our workers, and manufacturing CEO says, well, then we have to increase our prices on our product because we want our profit margin. Will the people be willing to pay higher prices now versus having the cheap, cheap prices from a foreign market? Will they go back just to save their country? Will they be able to go back and pay higher prices to get manufacturing back? I don't think they will. I think we're stuck in a rut here of the foreign cheap foreign products. I don't see people going back saying, yeah, I'll pay a lot more for that product now to keep Americans working. I don't see that happening. What about you? What do you think?
I think 50-50, like, on that one. People would say no, people would say yes, because if there were jobs here and that would make the economy better, and people would be loyal to the companies having products being manufactured here, I think they would do that. But I was more interested in the illegal immigration. I'm not much into the economy stuff. I follow the economic news and stuff like that. But like, I'm not really passionate about it.
I can tell you from my experience living here.
I'll check out the RBN article you're talking about.
Yeah, it's on there. It's on the RBN website. It's republicbroadcasting.org. It's like the third or fourth article. It has a picture of Lincoln on there. Go ahead and read that. I'm not sure it's going to give you... it may give you a source, actually, to go to find more information about the truth about the Civil War. So check that out. It's on the website.
Yeah, check it out. Thanks.
You got it. Wayne in Texas, what's on your mind? Actually, I think we're going to John. John in Rancho Cucamonga. John, are you there?
Yes, I am, Steve. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, John. What's going on? Yeah.
Good. I just wanted to try to answer your previous caller, Ramsey from Canada, his question about some good books to read about so-called Civil War, which was not a Civil War. It was the War of Northern Aggression, sometimes called the War for Southern Independence. And when I read these two books, it just turned my thinking around. And I'm from that state called the Land of Lincoln. The name of the author is Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo, DiLorenzo. And one of his books is entitled The Real Lincoln, and the other one is entitled Lincoln Unmasked, and both of them each supplement each other as far as the material in there. They were both written in one was in 2004, the other one was in 2006 or 7, something like that. Dr. Thomas DiLorenzo is a Roman Catholic author. I thought that was significant because a lot of times you read any particular religious, you know, by a religious author, things sort of creep in, and there's nothing like that in there at all. And pretty much, when you get done reading both of these books, you or anyone else, you will come to the conclusion pretty rapidly that the war had nothing to do, not a damn thing to do with slavery, as we all were taught,
right.
And they were. The war was fought to achieve one major purpose, and that is to trash the U.S. Constitution and to get rid of this notion about states' rights. And the two hallmarks of states' rights being an activity called nullification, and the other activity was secession.
John, hold that thought. We'll bring you right back.
Okay.
Yep, we'll bring you right back after break. Stay on, John.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app. A global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
I got some news to tell about the wild. Here comes the doctor in charge. She's got some wild. And not the way I like it.
Welcome back to the National Intel Report. We're on the phone with John from Rancho Cucamonga. Go ahead and finish up there, John.
Okay, Steve. Thanks. Thanks a lot for letting me be on your show. Anyway, just to summarize, a lot of people think that the reason our country is in the dire states that it is right now, relative to the globalists and the implementation of this soon-to-be one-world government, the one-world religion, I think that all happened in 1933 with the bankruptcy of the United States government, and that I don't think that was it. It wasn't in 1913 when the 16th Amendment was passed. And the income tax was instituted, and a number of other things. It wasn't then. It wasn't the 14th Amendment in 1868, or the Reconstruction period. It was actually the so-called American Civil War. If you look back on it, you'll see that this, again, it trashed the U.S. Constitution. You'll find out that Lincoln was not this benevolent person. He was a tyrant. He was a dictator. He suspended the writ of habeas corpus. When northern newspaper editors published in their editorials that they were against this, using arms against their countrymen down in the South to achieve Lincoln's goals of the idea of quashing slavery, as if that was anything really that crucial anyway. Slavery was dying a slow death as it was. And Lincoln sent soldiers to these newspaper editors burned their presses, roughed up the owners, the editors, and took them into prison. And they stayed in prison. There were over 10,000 people who were arrested and were not released until the late 1860s, and the war ended in 1865. And they didn't get any right to a speedy trial or anything. So the idea of nullification, which was in vogue in the early 1800s, meant that if a state did not like an act passed by Congress, what they would, the state legislature would do is they'd flip their middle finger, figuratively speaking, at the U.S. Congress and say, well, we're not enforcing that in this particular state, say Ohio.
Right.
Congress decided that they were going to start a Rothschild federal central bank in Ohio. And what Ohio did was they sent one of their local sheriffs down to the bank, suitably armed and escorted, and they took all the cash out of the bank, and about $50,000, something like that. And they held it until the bank decided they weren't not welcome there anymore. And then I guess what also happened was that a number of other states joined into the fray, and they said, well, we don't want a central bank in our state either. So this was the thing called nullification. And if we had anything like that today, we would not be in the dire predicament that we're in. And of course, there's secession. There's been a lot of a discussion about that. But if you want to, when you get all done, when you need to done reading these two books, they're pretty good reads. And Dr. DiLorenzo does a really good job of pointing to sources of his research. He's got a whole ton of sources, so you can check on any of this stuff. A lot of the books were written actually in the early 2000s and the late 1900s. So it's not all uh-huh. brand new. All these sources have just been suppressed. Top of that, the American Historical Association was founded in the 1880s with the idea of trying to maintain a nice image of Abraham Lincoln. In other words, they lied in all their textbooks, the textbooks that my parents read back in the early 1900s, this is where we're at today. This is why, you know, they lied in the textbooks that I read too. I went to Catholic schools and major universities and so forth, and it just doesn't seem to matter. What you can do, you or Ramsey can do, is you can go to a website called lewrockwell.com, www.lewrockwell.com. You sound like you know about it.
That's the first thing I do in the morning. Actually, I send a lot of stuff over to John Stadmiller, and I go through the articles and find, and I kind of forward over to him. No, Lou Rockwell is a very good source. A lot of good writers on Lou Rockwell. Freedom Phoenix also, good writers there with some perspective. So yeah, and definitely watch a little bit of RT News. Right.
Look up DiLorenzo, DiLorenzo on Lou Rockwell. He started writing probably in 2001 or 2002, probably got over 1,000 columns there. You can find out a lot about what those two books that I just mentioned, The Real Lincoln and Lincoln Unmasked, say. And when you get all done putting that together, I'm sure you'll come to the same conclusion that I did, and that is that the War of Northern Aggression was a planned event. It didn't have a damn thing to do with slavery. It had something to do with economics, but even the economics aside, without slavery or without even the economics, the war still had to be fought to change the country. They had to get rid of the two hallmarks of states' rights, nullification and secession, and that's what they did, and that was the beginning of the end, which is where we're at today.
Let me throw another name at you there, John. You sound like a really sharp guy. You like to read and educate yourself. Another guy you can check on the archives, he's since passed away, was a writer from the Orlando Sentinel called Charlie Reese. Check out Charlie Reese.
Sure.
Charlie Reese was sharp guy.
He used to write for the Chicago Sun-Times, I believe. I don't think it was a syndicated columns, but he had some regular columns there, yeah.
Right. He was sharp guy.
He was an interesting character, yeah.
I passed away a couple years back, but definitely worth looking at some of his archive stuff. So we're going to station break. We'll be back. And Wayne, you're next up. Thank you, John, for your call.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Okay, bye now.
Okay, you're listening to the National Intel Report.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Bottom of the hour, this is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkin sitting in for Mr. John Stadtmiller, who's been attacked by chiggers. Get better, John. See you back Monday. Before we go to the next caller, I wanted to let everybody know we are doing a donation drive here, a pledge drive here at the network. And I've been given some information here to read to you from P.J. Barden, who is kind of heading up this pledge drive. He's the captain. Well, actually, he's co-captain. Captain would be John Stadtmiller. But he's been working on finding a plan to get the pledge drive going and get the pledges up, and it's definitely much needed. John has done a great job of cutting his costs, and I'm just going to read here exactly what PJ has given me on my screen. 17 similar radio stations out of a total of 25 Patriot stations have gone bust over the past few years. It is extremely difficult to generate advertising revenue in the declining economy of the same period, and getting paid from same advertisers is extremely difficult, even when some of the same group claim to be loyal patriots. For these reasons, get back to my screen here, RBN has been within hours of closing down on at least six different occasions over the past 2 years. John has cut the cost of RBN operation from $23,000 a month to $12,000 a month during the same time. There's nothing left to cut. He's done all the cutting he can down to the bone. There is a list of tech equipment that needs to be repaired, or replaced, and there's no funds to do that, so we definitely need your donations. RBN is regularly being attacked. Hacked. Why? Because they speak the truth. And I hear Michael Rivera talk about this all the time. He's always under attack. So RBN also, the website is under attack. They don't want you reading these banner articles that John has up on the website. They don't want you educating yourself and learning about the truth. They want you just to fall in line and watch mainstream media and believe what you're told. Like that 4.4% unemployment, which nobody who listens to this station regularly believes that for a moment. So even P.J. Barden says here that his own he had a Skype attack last month called a red hat attack. He said he'll be happy to go into that in explanation on his show at another time. And I believe P.J. Barden is on either Saturday or Sunday morning. I can't remember which morning I listened to him. But he is on the network on the weekend. So please donate if you can. The website, republicbroadcasting.org. Donations, you can call in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail your donations here to Republic Broadcasting Network at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And please make those checks payable to Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to go back to the phone lines here, and let me just refresh here and see where we are. And we are going to go to Wayne in Texas. Wayne, you're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind?
Hi, Steve. Good job tonight, as usual.
Oh, thank you.
Talk about a couple. Yeah, I want to talk about some issues regarding Trump, but before that, just a couple quick comments. You have people talking about, you know, there's been some discussion on jobs and what's happened and what we need to do, but, you know, let people know if they really research it. We really went down the slippery slope when NAFTA and GATT was passed. You know, and results are in already on that, and I think we lost about 50,000 jobs, 50,000 factories, and about 6 to 8 million jobs overall. And so that really, you can see what kind of impact it had on our economy. And I think folks need to remember, when it comes to factories and jobs it creates, when you have a factory of, say, 100 factory workers, well, you're going to have a lot of white-collar jobs associated there with management, engineering, accounting, administrative staff. And then there's a multiplier effect in the community. You're going to have stores, gas stations, and restaurants, you know, these people are going to go and shop at. So that's where the real plus is. And that's what Pat Buchanan tried to say, even Ross Perot, when they were running, that, you know, this is what was going to happen if we lost all this. And we can see the results now, how the debt's ballooned and unemployment rate is so high. But now that's on the jobs. Now, as far as 501c3, the only comment on that is that these church leaders and pastors and all them, they made a deal with the devil. Nobody forced them to make a deal with the IRS for their tax benefits and everything else they received on that. So I don't feel sorry for any of them for being stifled, because they made the conscious decision to go down that road. And so if they're whining about being, they can't say what they want, then they need to drop their 501c3 and get on with it. Forget about the tax benefits.
I totally agree with you, and actually that's what I would do as a church. I would say, no, my voice is going to be heard. It really irritates me when I see that the possibility of war and our children being taken to war, and the preachers, the pastors will not say, this is unjust, this is not right, this should never happen. They're afraid to say that. If they say it one time, they are stripped of that tax-free status, and they're going to be paying the big tax. And we saw that Obama, had used... I can't remember who it was offhand, to use the IRS to going after these charitable organizations and churches for speaking out against their policies. And we know that happens. So I would say forget the 501c3 myself. Forget it. Speak your voice. Be heard. And I thank you for your call, Wayne. Thank
you
very
much. I want to make a couple comments on Trump. Because, you know, you have some other enlightened callers that really want to dump on him, but I don't hear too many facts about what is backing up their story. And, you know, the thing we all have to realize, you know, again, he's going to have some foibles. He has made some mistakes. But just look at what he's done with illegal immigration, MS-13. You know, border crossings are down. They're rounding up these MS-13 guys in Long Island that were macheting people to death. You know, that kind of gruesome stuff. They're going after now the sanctuary cities that are, you know, keeping a lot of illegal aliens and criminal illegal aliens on the streets, you know, so that endangers the public, you know, safety for that matter. Look what he's done for the vets. You know, he's really brought that whole issue, you know, full circle here, and he's really, he has people on his staff now doing a lot for these guys, and they're not dying waiting for, you know, for health care now. And the Supreme Court with Gorsuch and everything else. So how about the coal miners in Kentucky and in West Virginia? So a lot of people want to crack on it, but, you know, we're much better off than what we were with Obama, and a hell of a lot better off than Hillary. So people need to keep that in mind.
That's
before they start dumping on them.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed here. I don't expect miracles. I do expect to be better off 4 years from now when we have this conversation again. And that's my hope, to be better off, not engaged in another conflict, another war somewhere, and to bring back manufacturing. No, I don't expect miracles from Donald Trump, not at all. Hey, Wayne, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Mike from Colorado, you're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind?
Hey, Steve, great job filling in for John. You're probably my favorite guest host.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. What's
job.
On
you're
your mind today?
Man. Well, I tell you,
what's on your mind?
All of us understand that the 14th Amendment, the Federal Reserve, the bankruptcy, the Administrative Procedures Act, we all get that. I think we need to stop looking at all those reasons that the train's going to crash and start working towards a decentralized, free market, liberty-minded government. And if we have to start it in small groups, that's what we have to do. You have to stop signing the 1040 form, stop renewing the driver's licenses, and truly go total anarchy on them until us as individuals can get this thing back. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, that's a great idea, but here's the problem you face with that is there's going to be somebody who's going to be that victim, that sucker that's going to be made an example of, and everybody is afraid to be that person to stick their neck out. Everybody's saying, waiting for the other guy to do it. Uniformly, we need to all say, enough's enough, stop. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because what I wanted to go into today, and I'm not going to actually get a chance to do that because you know my field's medicine, in that I wanted to talk about H.R. 1313, which is going to be the mandatory vaccines at your workplace, that your work is going to tell you, you either take these vaccines or you lose your job. Now, if it's a good program and vaccines are as safe as they are, you don't need to strong-arm people at all. You show them the data, the raw data, that this is safe, we've checked it out, everything's fine, and we're doing it, and you need to comply with it because it's the right thing to do, but they can't show you that. And if you ever watch that movie, Vaxxed, and I suggest everybody listen or watch the movie Vaxxed on YouTube, where James Thompson, a whistleblower for the CDC, came out and gave the raw data of what he found out about the vaccines and that the correlation with autism, and it was based on the immature immune system of the infant and child, and that if they split the vaccines up, the MMR, which is the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, up in three separate vaccines and gave it to the child at age 3 or older, that autism went down tremendously, boom, significantly down. It's like gone. So it's that sticking your neck out. Everybody is waiting for somebody else. They're not happy about the situation, but they're all afraid. Well, I don't know. I'm afraid. What if they make an example of me? You know, the taxation system, it's a scam. Yes, your taxes aren't being used appropriately for your areas, your state. They're being sent off to Israel and other countries. What, $34 billion, what, a couple months ago? You have no say-so on that? Well, yes, you should have a say-so. That's your money. Your money is supposed to be used for your area, your community, is your state. And I think what we're looking at is that everybody's waiting for somebody else and the numbers to increase to stick their neck out, but they're not willing to stick their neck out. But I'll tell you right now, on this H.R. 1313, you and I, everyone needs to stick their neck out on this, because if you say yes to these vaccines, that vaccine list is growing, people. They're going to come more vaccines, and they're going to say you have to comply because you complied the first time. You are going to lose ownership of your person if you do not stand up and say, wait a minute, draw a line in the sand. You're going to have to cross your arms. I'm going to fight this hard. I'll be damned if I comply with these mandatory vaccines. I've had all the vaccines I'm ever going to have in my life. I had them. They're done. There's no more vaccines in my future. My wife feels the same way. I'm working on my daughter now to make sure my grandchildren aren't vaxxed to death until they start having problems. So it's that sticking your neck out is the problem.
Okay, so
I think we go ahead.
No, that's great, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because if they bring a hypodermic needle to my door, they're going to be met with the 45 cartridge. Cliven Bundy stuck his neck out, and he's paying for it, but he's paying honorably. And so for any of these people who listen to the show, I hope they do support their favorite host by giving a donation. And RBN has got to stay on the air no matter what, and I do what I can. But that thing where it's not going to be me first, that's not me. I haven't signed a 1040 since 2003. You know how many letters I've received from them?
No. How many?
Zero. None? Zero. Not one.
Yeah.
And they tried to garnish me, and we went through the paperwork, and they didn't garnish me. And so if we're going to really get this place back, talking about Lincoln, which is interesting, and I love the topic, it's not going to make a difference. You got to stand for your vaccine, which I am proud that you brought that up, because everybody's got a line in the sand. Mine's really close to me. I don't have it out there far. But if we don't draw our lines in the sand and do not comply at every step of the way, this is never going back.
No, it's not. It's not. You are going to lose ownership of who you are, and they will decide everything for you. You will be just as good as a slave if you agree to this. And, you know, if things go desperately, terribly wrong, and I've seen these vaccines go bad, I could tell you stories. Maybe the next time I come on, I'll talk about a certain situation that I know of where a child was gravely ill and now is damaged goods from vaccines. And they were normal that morning and they got the vaccines, and later on they're not. So,
can you tell us now, or are there a bunch of callers?
I've got two more callers on the line here, and I need to try to get through them. So at another time, I'll be on, and we'll definitely talk more about this next time around. HR 1313, draw that line in the sand. You got it. Thank you. Mike in Colorado, you're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind? Mike, are you out there? Oh, that was Mike. Sorry. Francis in North Carolina, you're on the National Intel Report.
Hello, young man.
Hey, young man, I've got a compliment. Thank you.
Anyway, I was starting to wonder for a few moments there what was going to be next, second, third, whatever have you. Just a few thoughts for you.
Sure.
Okay. Good. All right. I apologize. I was called a line coming in on what I'm talking. One, first of all, wishing John a speedy recovery. Two.
From the chiggers, yeah.
Oh, boy. They can be nasty, yes. Secondly, yes, as far as the 501c3, what are you going to call it, is concerned, if they don't straighten that mess out, and I really do not envy the various religious institutions that have that in place, for that matter, because when the time comes, it's going to be like a spiritual nuclear bomb going off.
Yep.
And quite frankly,
I totally agree. I totally agree. Yeah. That's tied your hands big time. The 501c3 ties your hands to free speech. No doubt about it. Yeah. Done.
And quite frankly, I'm going to be laughing my tail off at the stupidity. And lastly, of course, as far as the thing about whether you're buying American-made or otherwise being shipped in, let alone where it's being shipped in from, I can recall many, many years ago someone make a comment that whenever they, this is my terminology and not theirs, when they went into China Mart, they were tickled that they could just fill up the cart and make out like a bandit. I thought, well, let's see, since it's basically plastic junk, I can see why you would fill it up to the rim of the shopping cart. But I've come to realize one thing. That's when you have a one-day bang and a second day in the garbage refuse trash pile. It's only a one-day fling, and that's it, and it's in the garbage the next day. So
yeah.
Well, when it comes
Francis,
right down,
let me ask you. Francis, let me ask you a question real quick here. Do you believe that Americans will come back and willing to pay higher prices on products that they want to bring back manufacturing? I think they're kind of they've been addicted to the cheap products from foreign markets for so long now that and the reason I'm asking this, because I was in the Home Depot the other day, and I refused to use any of these self-checkouts. I refused to use them. My wife said, come on, let's check it out here. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? And I said, because every time you do that, in technocracy, you take away a job from somebody, and we need to keep people working. So I refuse to go through those self-checkouts. I'll go stand in line. I want to see a person's face. I want to check it out through them. And I refuse to use those self-service things. You know, you have to with the gasoline deals now, because nobody runs out to your car to service your car. So they can get away with that one. But when I buy merchandise, I'm going through a line where there's a real person there at the end of that line. And I suggest that everybody else think this way too, because we are going to get rid of our own jobs, our own stability, if we continue to go down that road of technocracy.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because at one point when I went to a food store, it was late, about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night or whatever, and they said, well, you can always go through the self-checkout. And I thought, no, I'd rather deal with a living human being, thank you. And I literally stood in line where they were supposed to be at, and I waited until they came off a break to actually check us out, because I'd rather deal with a human being than a machine. And
right,
so,
right.
Plus, it also keeps them employed.
Right,
so,
right.
As far as people wanting to just buy simple, inexpensive junk, plastic junk is concerned, yes, that's because they're used to it. And also the aspect that the economy has gotten so bad, they feel like they have no choice. Well, actually, in fact, they do have a choice. You can make a conscious decision, and I guess you could say prioritize as to what's a necessity and what is just a simple, fleeting want and desire or whatever. So, It's a matter of people making a conscious choice as to, you know, ad nauseum. So it's up to the person. Personally, myself, I'd rather purchase something than someone else who crafted here in the U.S., period.
Right.
It's the reason why I go to a lot of craft shows and so forth, and art shows, where people, there are actually artisans out there that actually have their wares that they've actually crafted by hand, and I can actually talk to the person, the artisan, and actually get to know them and get like their information, so at least I can contact them again in case I want to purchase for perhaps a gift for a relative or something, and which goes over really big time for the holidays, because people are like, at least for one relative I've had tell me, you know what, of all of the folks that we have that gift us with various things, you gift us with the most unique and interesting because they're handcrafted. And I thought, you know, that warmed my heart to hear that.
Right. Right, right.
So,
no, I just tell people to bypass those self-checkouts and keep people working as much as you can. Just bypass those. And you know, you may wait in line a little bit and everything. You know, it's interesting because I actually had a conversation with one of the employees there who was kind of monitoring the self-checkouts. And she said, well, you can go check out here at this machine here. And I said, no, I'm going to go with a real person. And she looked at me like I was crazy. And I had to explain to her, I'm trying to keep you people working. Do you understand? If everybody decides they don't want to need a person anymore, there'll be very few people working here anymore. And I'm trying to keep you working.
You go through the self-checkout, and you're going to one step closer to dealing with a robot.
Right, exactly.
Just as whenever you deal with, people talk about cashless society and so forth, if not yet. For one thing, I'd rather flip a bill than flip a card to a card reader to pay for a purchase.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Anyway.
Hey, thank you very much, Francis, for your call. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. Yes, people, use real people. You check out of stores, that just hurts. It just hurts the numbers, you know. We need to keep people working. So we had some great calls tonight, no doubt about it. Let me go back through the donation thing here again. I want to hit that one more time before the show ends. And call with your donations at 1-800-724-2719 extension 3, or you can mail it to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Make sure your check is payable to Republic Broadcasting Network. Well, that's about it almost for me. Another 5 minutes to go. Anybody else call in? We've got squeeze one more call. Oh, my God. We got Wes and I. Wes, you're on the National Intel Report. You've got 5 minutes. Go for it.
Well, thank you. Multiple sclerosis from vaccinations here. I think more important than whether George Washington chopped down the cherry tree or not, I'd like to be known, Wes from Idaho would like to be known, that he keeps pointing out that George Washington, when he took his oath of office for president, he did so with his hand on an open Bible at Deuteronomy 28, which is the blessings and the curses. I have it here in my hand, a 1599 Geneva Bible. It's a Patriot's edition. What a beautiful book. I have found that the King James Bible does not begin to compare. This book gave inspired our forefathers to do the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, Magna Carta. Of course, that came before. But anyway, this book, this Geneva Bible, the Patriots edition, actually has the Mayflower Compact, the Magna Carta, in it, as well as rules of civility and decent behavior, which George Washington wrote down. Here's a statement from George Washington: every officer and man should live and act as become a Christian soldier. Notice it does not say Judeo-Christian soldier. Defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. But the Geneva Bible was birthed because at the year 1555, Bloody Mary, Mary, the Queen of England, led 250 Protestants to the stake, to be burned at the stake. So these Protestants went to Geneva and wrote this Bible that has 300,000 footnotes. And what I'm finding is Bloody Mary and King James did not like the Geneva Bible because it questioned the authority of queens and potentates on this earth. That is why I don't want to read the King James Bible.
Okay, well, that brings our show to an end there. Thank you, Wes, for your call. You were kind of talking over my head on this Bloody Mary stuff, but I do recognize Bloody Mary, and that sounds like a good thing to me tonight after I finish this show of having a Bloody Mary. Hey, thank you, John Stadmiller, for letting me host the show today. This is the National Intel Report coming to an end. James Kelso was up next with the Trump phenomenon and the famous words of Edward R. Murrow. Good night and good luck. We'll see you soon. Good night.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening
listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.